Galatians chapter 6. There's going to be two parts to this service. I'm going to preach a little bit, and I'm going to just talk to you for a little while. So we'll start here in Galatians chapter 6 tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right to our service. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here tonight. We know it's been a different kind of day. A lot of heavy rain. The rain's still continuing. We'll come in even heavier this evening. So I know that's causing difficulty for a number of folks. We have people tonight who have colds. Seems a little bit unusual this time of year, but Father, just people in need. So we ask, Lord, that you would watch over our folks, especially with the wet conditions on the roads. Watch over folks, Lord, who are already battling things that we normally think of for the fall or winter time. So we just ask, Lord, that you would watch over our folks. We have come here to be fed tonight spiritually. I don't want to waste people's time. So Lord, let what is said tonight be a help, just a little bit of a help to them. God will thank you for what you will do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, Chapter 6, verse 2. A very familiar verse. I believe it's familiar to you. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting. This is the only place that you'll find the term "the law of Christ." I believe that it's related to what we find in James chapter 2, verse 8. And there it says, "If ye fulfill the royal law," according to the Scripture, and then he gives the law, "thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Of course, we stress that today in what we preached out of 1 John this morning. That's the royal law. That is the law of Christ. You take the Ten Commandments, what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. They're basically, you could put it this way, two commandments divided in our relationship toward God and then our relationship toward men. You know, those commandments, "thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, and thou shalt have no other gods before me," and those things, "thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Those commandments relate to our relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's the first commandment. That's what Jesus said, "thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And he said, the second is like unto the first. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All those things that we deal with people, those two commandments, subdivided, if you will, into the ten, are, in a sense, all summed up into what Jesus taught and he enhanced in the royal law, or the law of Christ. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," what we heard this morning. And so when you see verse 2 of chapter 6, this is practical loving. Talked a little bit this morning about, what does it mean to love your brother? What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean to love your neighbor? Well, here's a little glimpse of it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So God says, I want you to bear other people's burdens. Now, what's a burden? I don't think I really need to explain that. Man, whatever is weighing you down is a burden. It could be sin. You know, sin has a way of burdening you down, doesn't it? And you look at Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12. "Let us lay aside every," what's the next word? "Weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Sin and those things that can become sin are weights. They're heavy. They weigh us down. They become burdens. And I think when you look back at chapter 6, verse 1, you see a picture of helping to bear somebody in the issue of sin in their life. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that's a sin. Sin. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God does not command us to go and run roughshod over our brother when they are caught up in a fault. He does say, you, at the next step, could be in the same place your brother is at. So you be careful how you approach him, and you go with meekness, and you try to restore him. That is, in essence, bearing somebody's burden when they are struggling with sin in their life. It may be a blind spot to them. They may not realize that they are in this blind spot. Or if they do, they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how. Or maybe they've become callous to it. It's been part of their life for so long, they've just become calloused to it. And so God uses you or me, somebody, to go and meekly, gently point out the fault so that they can be restored. And that is, in a sense, bearing someone's burden of sin. It could be, you know, a health issue. Bearing somebody's burden while they struggle with a health issue. You heard the announcement this morning. And we're just seeking, you know, only God is the healer. I'm not the healer. The doctors are not the healers. The great physician, he's the healer. And that's his business, and that's why we continually pray for healing, no matter who it is, no matter what the condition is. But since we cannot physically heal somebody, then we can help bear the burden by attempting to do what we're going to do here in a few weeks. And I think people are excited about trying to just be a blessing and just trying to bear a little bit of burden for some folks. And that could be a way of bearing a burden for someone. It could be a financial situation. You know, I don't think at this particular stage in our church family we have anybody who is extremely wealthy. We've had on occasions a few folks that were pretty wealthy. We don't have that, at least that I'm aware of. Now, if you are, I would like to know that. I would like to talk to you for a while. But anyway, in all seriousness, I don't know of anybody in that particular situation. So the reason I would say that is this. A lot of times we have people that run into financial situations. And maybe they don't let that be known to everybody, but maybe you hear about it and they're not doing this. You just know about it and God prompts your heart. And so you take an envelope and you put a $100 bill in, or $250s or $520s or whatever, and you just, while they're not looking, you stick it in their Bible. Or you go up to the car and you see the doors unlocked and you just lay it on the driver's seat. And you don't ever say anything about it. You just do it. You know why you're doing that? Because you're helping bear a burden. It could be financial. It could be they're going through a family struggle. And you've already been down the path. You've already been there. You know what it's like. You know what it's like to struggle with a child. Or you know what it's like to have issues in a marriage. And so you go and you help bear the burden. You say, how do you bear the burden? Well, you bear burdens first and foremost. Listen, and I mean this. First and foremost, by prayer. By prayer. Yesterday at the men's retreat, it's a tremendous speaker, Dr. Ron Williams. I've never heard of him before, never heard him speak before. Very eloquent, very distinguished man. Just He taught, I told Mrs. Isley today, it was actually the morning session on Saturday, he taught on finances. It's like for a men's retreat, he taught on finances, how to handle money, you know, all these. And it's like Brother Marshall, who has run that for 39 years, he got up and said, in all the years we've had missionaries and evangelists and pastors come in to preach, no one's ever taught men how to handle money and how to stay out of debt, you know. And it's like, that was really, really good. So we heard a tremendous preacher yesterday and on Friday there at the men's retreat. And he made reference, and I can't remember where it's found or I would take you there, but to an individual who the Bible says they labored in prayer over their people. They just labored in prayer. And I have found this true in many of you who try to be consistent in your prayer life, realize that prayer is labor. It's one thing to ask God for things. God, I need this, I need that. God bless my family. It's another thing to labor over people who are struggling with life. You labor in prayer. And that's a way to help bear somebody's burden. You know that they're hurting physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, whatever it may be. And you go before God and you are, in a sense, like Aaron and Hur were to I was going to say Moses, and that is correct. I was going to correct myself and say Noah, and that would not have been correct. My dad, that reminds me, when I was a kid, we were having family devotions one night. We didn't do it consistently, but one night we're having family devotions, and my dad told the story about the ark, and he said, "What was Noah's name?" And I said, "Moses." He said, "No." Is Katie back there? Yep, she's back. I'm going to tell him this. How many ever watched VeggieTales? I can't believe adults watch VeggieTales. But anyway, I kind of like VeggieTales. But anyway, you remember Madam Blueberry? We watched this episode, and Madam Blueberry is the featured star on that. And afterwards, I can't remember if it was Debbie or somebody said, "What is Madam Blueberry's name?" Or no, what is Madam Blueberry? And Katie says, "A grape!" Yeah, that was funny. Anyway, I don't know why I'm even on this subject. I'm on a rabbit trail, and I've lost my place. But anyway, you bear a burden through prayer, laboring in prayer for people. I believe you can bear a burden by this simple reality, by sympathy or empathy. Sympathy, you've never been where they're at, but you feel for them. Empathy, you've been where they're at, and you really feel for them. And that, and I mention that because that causes you to react differently to people who have no sympathy or no empathy, and they see someone hurting, and they want to go over there and tell them, "Grow up." Or get a stiff upper lip, like the British like to say. And you know what? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us differently. The Bible says, when a member of the body is hurting, all the members hurt with it. You hear that? When a member of the body hurts, all the members hurt with it. I remember years ago preaching on 1 Corinthians 12 and talked about, you know, the different parts of the body physically and spiritually, and gave the illustration about, you know, guys, when you're up on a roof and you're pounding nails into the shingles. And if you remember Bobby Huffman, you guys remember Bobby Huffman? How many remember Bobby Huffman? Bobby Huffman was a roofer, and we lived in Philippi, and he and several men of the church came out to roof our house, and he'd just go down like this, man. Boom, boom. One hit on the hammer. Boom, boom, boom. Well, his thumbs were all smashed up. You know why? Because all those years of roofing, once in a while, he missed. And he splattered those thumbs. Well, if you've ever done that, and I've had the pleasure of smacking my thumb at different times with a hammer, you know, it's praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen. And you know what you do? You do this. Your hand sympathizes with that thumb. And then your gut sympathizes. And you roll over. And you know what? Now, listen, literally, your whole body is sympathizing with that thumb. You're not standing there saying, "Grow up," you know. You don't do that. And so when a member of the body hurts, everybody hurts with them. So there is a way to bear burdens. Sometimes it's by physically lifting a person up. Say, "What do you mean?" Well, maybe, and I heard this. I heard, I guess Darby is pretty good with vehicles, and Tom is good with vehicles. Is that correct?
No, Nick is my
vehicle. Nick is your vehicle man? Yeah. Okay, maybe that. One of you guys had a broken down vehicle, and the other guy came over and fixed it.
Yeah.
You're broken down? Okay. All right. If you need a mechanic, Nick is not the guy, or Darby's not the guy to go to. It's Nick. Nick only charges $500 an hour, by the way. So he just said Nick would not take his money. So I got free service for you if you need free service. But anyway, you know, sometimes bearing a burden may be, okay, just like that. You know, my car is not working and I don't got money to take it to the shop. You know, somebody understands, hears about the burden, and they say, I can do that. I can help. Or maybe it's lifting somebody financially. Again, you know, helping someone that can't pay a medical bill, or whatever it is. You understand that. God says here, through the Apostle Paul, bear ye one another's burdens, and in so doing, you are fulfilling the chief thing that Jesus Christ taught his disciples. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. How does it manifest itself? Partly by bearing one another's burdens. Now, there's an interesting point about burden bearing. Chapter 6, verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. It's not a matter of me having burdens and then me going on the rooftop and shouting, I have a burden, I expect Fred to bear my burden, I expect Nick to bear my burden. No. God says, you look for other people who have burdens and you help carry them. But you carry your own load, pal. You carry your own burden. Don't you go trying to dish it off to others. Part, I think, of the mentality is this. One, not to be mooching off of others in that sense. And to cause me to get my dependence on Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, he's the one that's going to have to meet the need. Now, the Lord Jesus may prompt somebody else to help bear the burden. I mean, there are numbers of occasions. And I've been with this church between 19 to 20 years now, all told. Back in the 90s, and then coming back a little over 14 years ago to be pastor. Near 20 years now I've been associated with this church. There have been numbers of occasions where people saw a burden that I and Debbie were carrying, and they reached out to help us. They saw it, and they ministered to us. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to see a burden in somebody's life and be willing to bear one another's burdens. But when it comes to my burden, I'm to carry my own burden. If God prompts somebody to help me, praise the Lord. But I'm to carry my own burden. Now, when you carry your own burden, you know what happens? Sometimes you get overwhelmed. And that's where Psalm 55 verse 22 comes in. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And that's what I'm talking about. When it comes to burden bearing, you look to bear other people's burdens, you bear your own, and when it becomes overwhelming, you take that burden and cast it upon the Lord. And there are some literally miraculous things over the years that Debbie and I can talk about, and several of you can talk about, how you had burdens, and it got to the point where you had to cast that burden upon the Lord, and the Lord worked in a miraculous way to help ease the burden and to solve the plight that you were in. He said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to cast your burden upon me. Before you go casting your burden to somebody else, you come cast your burden to me. And let me solve your problem. And more often than not, he will use other people to help get you through whatever the burden is that you're carrying. I want you to turn over with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. We're going through a study on prayer on Wednesday nights. We started with the Lord's Prayer. Studied the Lord's Prayer, and now we're going through different men and women of the Scripture in their prayer lives, and we're currently looking at the life of Moses and his prayers. And going back here to Numbers chapter 11, Obviously, it's talking about the life of Moses here. And I think for clarity's sake, probably good. Let's just go back. Oh, verse 11 is good. Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? You know, sometimes even when you're doing what God calls you to do, if you're not careful, and I'm very guilty of this, you begin to look at the responsibility that God places on you as a burden and as though God is afflicting you. God called Moses to lead these people. And now he is almost accusing God, you are hurting me, God. Now, God knew the stress and the pressure that this man was under. He wasn't dealing with 130 people. He was dealing more than likely with about 6 million people. A 3 million person estimate is extremely low when it comes to the size of the nation of Israel at this point in their history. But anyway, that's besides the point. Verse 12. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Isn't it typical for us when we're under pressure, we're under burden, to just want to escape it and get rid of the burden? Here's Moses, the man of God. The man who with a rod in his hand defeated the greatest empire on the face of the earth. Literally, single-handedly. That man became so stressed out that he said, God, you kill me and just let this all come to an end because I just can't handle this anymore. He said, I'm overwhelmed. It is literally too heavy for me. This is too much for me. Now notice God's response in verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. These are great words. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. You say, why did you read that? I just wanted you to understand that sometimes God can raise up others to help bear your burden. And in order for that to happen, it's not me running to other people to say, you bear my burden, you bear my burden, you bear my burden. It is going to God and saying, God, it is too heavy for me. I cannot do this. And letting God bring the right people in to help bear your burdens. Because sometimes I, in my flesh, can appeal to the wrong people and make things far worse. Yeah. Go to God. Let Him do those things for you. A burden bearer. First and foremost, my role as a child of God should be to seek out others who need help carrying their burden. Because I might be the answer to prayer that believer is praying. God, would you please help someone? Would you please use somebody to help me? Because I can't do this by myself. I need help, God. God may raise up somebody in His timing, in His way, to be that. So we as believers should be conscious of looking to help others in our church family bear their burden. But don't go seeking it. Don't you go seeking someone to bear your burden. Instead, when your burden becomes overwhelming to you, can't handle it, cast it upon the Lord and allow the Lord to raise people up to come in and help you bear your burden. Burden bearing. And that's something I think we all need to constantly be aware of And I think this church, for the most part, over the years, has manifested that kind of a spirit, that people reach out and minister to one another. And I commend you for it. But like anything else in life, you know, it's like, again, going through that marriage class we did several weeks ago. And we got a lot of folks that have a lot of good marriages in our church. We have folks that have very good marriages. But we can always get better. We can always get better. And even in this realm, a very important realm, fulfilling the royal law, we can get better. So maybe tonight God would challenge you with that and just say, you know what, I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep seeking people that I can minister to. And that's a good thing to seek for. That's a good thing to seek for. I mentioned tonight that I just want to take a little bit of time to talk with you. I don't want to do it in a business meeting. I just want to do it in this kind of a setting here. I know this is unusual, but I want to go ahead and do this. I'm sure you have noticed over here